This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is James Shirk, who's the Bradley Fellow in Labor Policy at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We want to get his insight on the latest incarnation of the fight in the U.S. Senate between Republicans and Democrats over the extension of unemployment benefits. Democrats say that the economic and job situation is so dire that the benefits have to be extended, despite the fact that the money's not being paid for somewhere else in the budget. Republicans say, yes, the benefits are important, but they do need to be paid for. And James, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
So obviously you have basically both sides with different priorities in moving forward on this. The Democrats got their way on the procedural vote. They got enough Republican votes to kill the potential filibuster. What's your analysis of this? Is this something where the line should be drawn in the sand over budgetary responsibility, or is this a situation where the benefits have to be extended whether the money can be found or not?
Well, I don't think that's it's not such an easy distinction, if they're so important, which everyone agrees that it's important to let these continue. But if it's such a top priority, then surely there's other things that the government is doing that are less important than this. And so we should be willing to cut those activities. You can say that these are important without saying that they're so important that we need to pass them without paying for them.
What are some areas maybe that money could be taken from pretty easily?
Well, there's the unspent stimulus dollars, which so far hasn't been too stimulating, so you could redirect it from other stimulus programs. There's at the end of the year, the government doesn't always spend all the money that's appropriated, so there's these unobligated funds that you could reduce the agency budgets for things that they were supposed to have the money spent on. They just didn't spend it, so let's use that money. Or there's other things you could do, like suspending the Davis-Bacon Act, which would save about $11 billion a year, which would pay for about a one-month extension of these programs. There's a number of areas of much lower priority fields where you could take the money from that would allow these programs to continue without interruption while being fiscally responsible.
What's been the general history on this? At what point does the unemployment rate get to the point where lawmakers decide that either they shouldn't be extended or suddenly they can't find money to pay for it?
Congress has historically done a very poor job of finding money to pay for things. In the past, generally, that's been fairly rare that they've done that. But often what happens is they don't allow these benefits to, the extended benefits to expire until roughly when you've got unemployment down to where it was before the recession began. The problem with that is and people are expecting unemployment that is not going to come back down to 5% anytime soon. That the expectation is it's going to be more of a 6% or 7% long-term unemployment rate. If Congress does what it's always done, we could be looking at 2 years of extended unemployment benefits for an extremely long period into the future.
What kind of price tag would that be imposing on the American taxpayer?
Quite high. This past year, the past 12 months, we've spent about $168 billion on the CUI program. And not only is that very expensive, but the problem is Congress isn't budgeting for that. They're doing what they're going to do now is simply saying, all right, well, it's an emergency. We have to pay for it. So therefore, we'll just pass this, but we won't cut any spending anywhere else to cover the cost, or we won't raise taxes. We're simply going to just borrow more. And so it's this enormous financial cost that isn't being factored into the annual budget.
We're talking with James Shirk of the Heritage Foundation. And James, it was just a number of months ago where we had this huge debate in Congress about the so-called pay-as-you-go rule. It was in effect in the late 90s, then not in effect for most of last decade, and now the Democrats have it in place, and the president signed it into law again. Why doesn't that apply to this?
It does, but the way it works is the pay-as-you-go rule gets suspended or ignored if you have 60 votes in the Senate to vote that way. That's also the same number of votes you need to break your filibuster. So what they're doing is they're simply, every time this comes up, Democrats have almost that many votes, and they're simply voting to ignore the pay-as-you-go rule. So the way the rule has worked in practice is that anytime you want more spending, well, then that doesn't have to be offset. But when you want tax cuts, well, then that does. So it's become something that's become more of a way to prevent taxes from being reduced than a way to actually be fiscally responsible. And if it was to be fiscally responsible, they'd also apply it when you have instances where they want to increase spending.
How much of this is political, James? How much do Democrats want to be able to say that Republicans are trying to deny unemployed people some benefits, and how much do Republicans enjoy pointing out the fact that Democrats aren't following their own rules?
I mean, there's always a large degree of politics and whatever goes in Washington. I mean, both sides are clearly hoping to score points, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of sensitivity around the fact that you've got so many million unemployed people and so many people receiving these benefits, that there's a lot of hesitancy to try and score too many points without having good policy and good substance behind it.
Is this a good hill to die on?
Well, dying certainly wouldn't be the optimal, but I mean, the Republicans, I think, are right to insist that Congress be fiscally responsible. That basically what the Democrats are saying, or what the majority is saying, is that there's no need to offset the spending. That there's that everything else the government does is more important than extending these benefits, and therefore can't be cut to pay for them. Well, I don't think most Americans agree that everything else Congress is spending money on is more important than these extended benefits, and that there's no wasteful spending that could be cut to offset them. But they simply don't want to do those spending cuts. They believe in bigger government. They don't want to reduce the size of government with the one hand as they're increasing it with another. And so they're trying to force those who want to pay for it into the uncomfortable terrain of being the ones who would stop unemployment benefits from being extended.
Well, last question, James. Are we going to see this fight again this year, or is this a longer extension?
No, it's a short-term, one-month extension. We're going to see this fight coming up over and over again.
We'll see plenty of rhetoric associated with it as well. James, thank you very much for helping us understand it better.
Thank you for having me on.
James Shirk is the Bradley Fellow in Labor Policy at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.